If you've ever had chicken pox, you're a likely candidate for developing shingles. For a long time, shingles sufferers have had to endure this painful condition and let it run its course. But in recent years, medical developments have allowed for vaccines and other treatment options, though some choose not to have them prescribed to them. We are joined this hour by a physician who helps us understand what shingles is and what our options are for treatment and prevention. Dr. William Agger is an infectious disease physician with Gunderson Health System, and he joins us this hour to take your calls at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Our email address is talk@WPR.org, and you can also leave your questions on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Dr. William Agger, thanks for joining us today.
Good morning, Cynthia. It's nice to be back on your program.
Happy to have you. So remind us exactly what shingles is.
Shingles is sometimes called zoster also. Zoster is a Greek word. Shingles is the Latin word. Is a infection of a recurrence of chickenpox that results in a burning discomfort and blistery eruption, usually on one patch of the body, on one side of the body only. It's the result of chickenpox recurring and following the nerve roots and the nerves that it originally infected way back and often childhood when the individual was first infected.
Well, how come when we're children and we have chicken pox, it manifests itself as a skin rash, and then as adults, shingles comes about as, more of a, you can follow the nerve on your skin. You can kind of see the pattern.
Well, when we get our first bout of chicken pox, we often, we get it by inhaling the virons in the air from other people with it. It's quite contagious. And with that infection, the central areas of our body develop a fairly good rash in most people, although some people only have a mild rash. The milder the chicken pox, the less likely the zoster that it can occur years later, which we'll talk about obviously in a little bit. But after the chicken pox person recovers, the remaining areas of the body that have picked up the virons from the skin and the chicken pox travels up the nerves and hides in what we call the ganglia, a collection of nervous cells along the spinal cord or up in the brain area, and actually incorporate their own DNA into those nerve cells, waiting their time to break out when the immunity often begins to fall, usually later in life. And then what happens is they send their virons back down those same nerves to break out in the skin, causing the burning discomfort, because basically it's an inflammation that they create right along the nerve and then all the way out to the skin, where they cause a blistery red rash.
And how long does it last once we develop shingles?
The burning discomfort can go on 2 or 3 days and sometimes longer before we even recognize what's going on. And then up to a week, they can blister on out. And then for another week or so, the rash progresses to a pustular inflammation of the skin, quite severe in some people. In others, it can be quite mild. And then subsides gradually thereafter, leaving sometimes some scars certainly in some unfortunate individuals, damage. The most common problem from shingles is, in fact, the fact that it's damaged the nerves, and people are left 6 months or more later with a burning discomfort in that area that in some individuals never goes away.
Really? So what options are available then? I mean, how soon do you need to be aware of it before you can maybe attack that burning sensation and all those other symptoms head on?
Sure. I think every one of us should be aware, especially those of us that are over the age of 40, virtually every one of us has had chickenpox. It's very rare to find an individual that wasn't exposed. When I see that in my practice, that is an adult getting chickenpox. It's usually someone that grew up on a farm by themselves as a single kid or the last kid in the family that wasn't around other children. But for the vast majority of us over the age of 40, we've had chickenpox, and so we are all at risk. If you start developing a burning sensation in one side of a body, on a stripe, for instance, coming around from the back to the front or across the face, up in the hair it can occur, any place in the skin, then you should try to see your physician within 48 hours of developing the clear-cut rash and symptoms that may indicate you're coming down with shingles or zoster. If you get into see the physician early, that is in the first 48 hours, perhaps 72 hours, there are antiviral medicines that can help attenuate the infection and produce a more rapid healing. If you wait too long, the damage basically has been done, and therapy does not seem to make much difference in an individual. There is one exception to that answer, and that is anyone that's immunocompromised, such as cancer, chemotherapy patients, patients with AIDS, patients on high-dose steroids, or patients on rheumatological drugs that suppress their immunity. Therapy can be helpful for them later in the course than a normal healthy person where it does not help.
Why is that?
Well, the normal healthy person's own immunity can quote, get on top of, unquote, the infection and get it under control. Of course, by doing so, it causes a lot of inflammation along the nerves. And an immunocompromised person, that natural immunity is not there to the degree needed, and therefore the virus can keep replicating and keep blistering and even spread to other places in the body and internal organs. So we really want those people to be protected against the virus if possible. Sometimes we give them drugs, for instance, to protect it from happening during their course of, say, chemotherapy.
We're talking with Dr. William Agger. He's an infectious disease physician with Gunderson Health Systems, and we're talking about shingles. Wondering if you've ever had shingles, and how did you cope? What treatment did you seek? And we are going to talk with him, too, about a relatively new vaccine that's been made available for shingles. And we'll talk about how that works and why some people are electing not to get it. You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Our email address is talk@WPR.org, and you can also tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I'm Cynthia Schuster, in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about shingles this hour with Dr. William Agger. He's an infectious disease physician at Gunderson Health System, and we're taking your calls and questions as well at 1-800-642-1234. Our email address is talk@WPR.org. Dr. Agger, before the break, I mentioned that there is a relatively new vaccine out on the market pertaining to shingles. What can you tell us about that?
Yes, the vaccine that's produced by Merck is a vaccine that had been developed earlier. In fact, it is used for prevention of chickenpox. However, the virus concentrations are much greater, 13 times as great in the vaccine for zoster as they use in chickenpox. The reason is that in order to get an adequate immune response from the vaccine to prevent zoster, you might need a much higher concentration. So it's been around now for a number of years, and its use, however, has, I think, been a little less than what we had hoped for, partly because of its cost. It is expensive, but partly because it's only about 50% effective in preventing the zoster, shingles. And for those reasons, it is not commonly as prescribed as it could be. Also has a complication of how to get it paid for because it's not covered by Part D of Medicare.
With the, you say the 50% prevention rate, are people also concerned possibly, do they weigh that against side effects? Are they looking at this prevention rate and saying, well, you know, I'm not willing to take the gamble when, on the other hand, I might have to worry about various side effects?
Well, I can't speak for other people. I can tell you that I certainly took the vaccine, and the reason is I have seen the effects of zoster, which can be awful. So I'll take the first the side effects of the vaccine, which is at the site of injection, some arm stiffness and some feeling of pre-fever, I call it, mild achiness that we often get after, say, influenza vaccination, maybe a little low-grade fever. And that is about the complications of the zoster vaccine. But how about the zoster itself? Well, we mentioned the chronic persistent pain that occurs up to 10% of people. Zoster vaccine prevents 60% of that situation from developing. Mm-hmm. But there are other complications of zoster, quite severe, and if you can cut your rate down by 50%, even though they're a little on the unusual for zoster, if they happen to you, they can be life-changing, devastating events. Blindness, problems with hearing. I've seen individuals that developed zoster in the roof of the mouth and down the throat and lost ability to adequately speak.
Wow.
And even transverse myelitis can occur, which is a disease of the spinal cord, leaving people paraplegic or nearly paraplegic. So it's a serious disease in some individuals, and if you can cut your risk by 50%, why not?
We have a full phone line, so let's take some calls. We have Mary in Heartland ready to go. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling in regards, I have a daughter. She's 24, and she's had shingles probably 8 times. Starting when she was 16, traditionally on her back, but as each year it seems to start to migrate, and the last time she actually had it on her face, and she's got a prescription that if she gets the medication right away, it alleviates the symptoms, but the last time was around her eye, and she actually felt like her vision was starting to be affected by it. Is this something that's going to accelerate as she gets older, or is there something because of the frequency is something she needs to be concerned about? Mm-hmm. I'll take my answer off the air, sir.
Okay. Thanks, Mary.
Well, Mary, that's a tough question for me without seeing and looking at the situation in your daughter. But I would say that there are some individuals that do not have natural immunity that handles varicella zoster and its cousin, herpes simplex virus, the cold sore virus, well. Now, if your daughter keeps getting the attack in the basically the same area, it's probably not zoster, but rather herpes simplex. Herpes, the cold sore virus, as anyone who suffers it knows, will keep breaking out in the same spot. That's highly unusual for zoster to do the same spot twice unless there's something wrong with immunity. So the bottom line is, if I were seeing your daughter during an attack, I would first confirm that it was which of the two virus it is by doing a PCR test on it, just like they do in the police movies. We can sort those two out. And if it's herpes simplex, then the best prevention in her with these multiple attacks would be suppression with antiviral medication. If it's zoster and she keeps having recurrent attacks like this, she needs some evaluation of her immunity to find out what could be wrong for her immunity. And finally, yes, both of these viruses can involve the eye, and she should be followed by an ophthalmologist familiar with these problems because they can be vision-threatening.
Yeah, that's scary to think about. Thanks for that call, Mary. 1-800-642-1234 if you have any questions or your own experiences with shingles. We have got Kat in Racine on the line. Hi, Kat.
Hello there. I have a question and I have a comment. The comment first. I have known a brother of a friend who, when he got shingles, used carrot seed oil, and it went away. And I heard this before about carrot seed oil. Has the doctor heard anything? And it, again, you have to use it within the first couple of days. And my other question, I'm a kidney patient on dialysis, and last week I had a shingles shot. And I'm wondering if perhaps I lost the potency of the shingles shot in dialysis the next day. Does the doctor know anything about that?
Well, let me take both. The carrot seed oil question, there's a lot of folk medicine. We must remember that the normal chain of events for many people is to get, in fact, most, to get over this in about a few days to a few weeks. And so unless you did a study using a placebo-controlled and then compared the results, one doesn't really know you're making much or any difference with such folk remedies. That's where modern medicine, and since really the 1900s, has requested for proof placebo-controlled studies. When they're done, I don't see any molecular reason that that carrot seed oil would result in improvement over any other placebo. But you never know until you run the experiment. That's the great thing about science. There may be something in carrot I do not know about. I'm sure there could be. So as far as the kidney situation, when you're on dialysis, they do not pull out the antigen of the vaccine, the live vaccine that's been put in your arm. It is a live vaccine, and it replicates in your tissues, creating immunity. Therefore, your dialysis per se didn't wash out the vaccine. However, because of your kidney disease, your immunity will not be as good as a healthy young person. And for that reason, the vaccine may not work as well, and it may not prevent shingles as well as a healthy young person. And remember, I said it only prevents about 50% of shingles. So in your case, it will be probably less likely to prevent, but still probably something. And if you had been my patient, I would have encouraged you to have it. Again, because if we can reduce the chance, especially over a large population of people, it'll make a big difference in healthcare and the healthcare cost.
We have a tweet from Gretchen, and only just about a minute before news, Dr. Ager. She asks, what about the dangers for some individuals of being inoculated with a live virus?
Well, that's a good question from Gretchen. Yes, if you have immune deficiencies, you should not receive this virus because it is a live virus. So we avoid people on high-dose steroids. Again, the individuals I mentioned that are on some of the rheumatological drugs that suppress immunity, and And people with AIDS, people on cancer chemotherapy, they should not receive these drugs. I mean, this vaccine.
Let's take one quick call. We might have to get the response after the news from Tom in Jackson. Hi, Tom.
Morning. My question is this. I've had shingles about 10 years ago. Am I still a candidate to get the vaccine, and would it help me, or is it too late for me?
We don't know, Tom. It's not too late because people can have shingles more than once in a different area. So after 10 years, after having it, it'd be worthwhile to have the vaccine, I believe. However, the science isn't there yet to tell you that that's the right thing. Having had shingles bumps your immunity almost like you're vaccinated. You can measure a bump in antibody titer after the shingles erupts. And therefore, individuals that have just had shingles and do not have any immune problems otherwise probably have semi-protected themselves.
We are talking with Dr. William Agger. He's an infectious disease physician at Gunderson Health System, and we're talking about shingles. It's a condition that affects a lot of people, and if you've ever had the chicken pox, you might be a candidate for developing shingles. Taking your questions at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Our email address is talk@wpr.org, and our Facebook page is The Joy Cardine Show. The news is next, and we'll be back in a few minutes right here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the viral infection shingles this hour and what we can do about it should we come down with it. If you've ever had chickenpox, this is something that might affect you at some point, and perhaps it already has. We're talking with Dr. William Agger. He's an infectious disease physician with Gunderson Health System, and we're taking your calls at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Dr. Agger, before the news, we were talking to a caller who was wondering if it's too late for him to seek treatment for shingles. He says he's had it for about 10 years. And one statement that you made that stood out to me is you said you weren't sure because the science isn't there yet. Could you talk a little bit about the science of the vaccine and what we know about it, what we don't yet know about it?
Well, what I was referring to in Tom's case is the fact that we do know that naturally the immunity is stimulated by an attack of zoster, and that's not surprising because we get over the zoster most of the time without consequence, especially if we're not immunosuppressed. But as we get over it, we now have better protection for a while, and the question in the science is how long is a while and when will it start being cost-effective to give vaccines to prevent a second or a third attack of shingles. Now, shingles is quite common. 20 to 30% of us who have had chickenpox can expect it. Some even say higher than that if it's looked for carefully. And about 10% of people that get chickenpox will end up with chronic persistent pain from it. So it's a significant amount of people that will have this problem. And ergo, we need to continue to try to, first of all, get people vaccinated that have never had the vaccine. Also, work out those that have had shingles, which is quite a few of us eventually will have it. When a booster shot would be preventive of the second or third attack. And then finally, we really need some good science on a better vaccine because, as I mentioned earlier, while the current vaccine prevents some cases, it doesn't certainly prevent all cases of zoster shingles, and therefore 50% will still go on and have an attack of it despite the fact that they were vaccinated.
Let's take a call from Jim in Watertown. Hi, Jim.
Hey, got a question for the doctor. I was a runaway, but when I did get back with the family, my mom died shortly thereafter, unfortunately. Well, because of this, I have no idea whether I've had shingles or not. I was just curious if the, is there a way to find out if I've had shingles, and if I if there isn't, is the is it recommended to get the vaccine or not?
Well, first of all, Jim, you probably are referring to if you've had chickenpox. And if you grew up around a fair number of children, and you're certainly if you're over the age of 40, you've probably had chickenpox. Now, chickenpox sometimes leaves a scar or two. It's not likely to leave very many more, but sometimes people can recognize a scar from the pox on a face or other area of the body. But if you're mother can't tell you, maybe your siblings can, because if you were around other children in the family before you left that had had chickenpox, you will probably be immune. Now, if you really want to know for sure, there are tests that we can run on your blood to look at antibodies, and if you have antibodies against the chickenpox, then you would be at risk of developing shingles later in life, as we've talked. The other way to approach the problem is if you're at the age where the vaccine is indicated, and incidentally, there's two ages. The FDA has approved the use of this vaccination over the age 50. The CDC and therefore what physicians and insurance companies are going on have approved it over the age of 60. So over the age of 60, if you're over the age of 60 and you've grown up around children, we don't recommend testing. We just recommend going ahead with the vaccine.
We saw an article in the January issue of Neurology saying that shingles can increase the risk of a heart attack by 10%. What's the link there? What's the relationship?
Yes, there's some epidemiological to date studies that have suggested for heart attacks, the inflammation that the shingles sets off creates a, what we call a hypercoagulable state. That's your blood is more likely to clot due to the inflammation in the body from the shingles. And if you're at the verge or at risk of having a heart attack, this puts the system under some stress, and heart attacks and strokes seem to be more common after this virus attack. Now, in the case of strokes, there has been known for many years that the small nerve twigs that go to the wrapping around the brain and also to the blood vessels in the brain occasionally will carry the virus up into the wall of the vessel, of the blood vessel, and cause a stroke. And I've seen about three or four of those occur a number of years. It's very rare, but chicken pox and more likely zoster will, shingles will rarely cause these more severe problems.
Gary in Ripon is next. Hi, Gary.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. What's your question?
My shingles was diagnosed in Ghana. Well, totally misdiagnosed, and it wasn't until I got back to the United States that it was correctly diagnosed. And I wondered if this idea that many children, or most people under 40, have been exposed when they were children to chickenpox is really an American phenomenon or a Western phenomenon. I know it's in Australia, but I'm wondering if it may be absent in other places like West Africa, and then I have a second question after that.
Well, that's a good question from Gary. Yes, I'm giving you the epidemiological studies from the United States where in the northern climates where children are crowded together in schools, we can expect virtually everyone to have had it before the chickenpox vaccine came out, so over the age of 40. In the tropics, that is not the case. When individuals are in schools in the tropics, they're more spread out and often open-air schools, and therefore the And also the virus itself doesn't seem to survive the tropical climates and humidity as easily. And for those reasons, fewer people have had chickenpox when they reach adulthood. So, and those individuals that, for instance, come to the United States and have had not had chickenpox should have a chickenpox vaccine, not the shingles vaccine.
Yes, I was told by my doctor here that it was really quite easy to diagnose, so I thought perhaps in West Africa the doctors hadn't seen many cases of it, and you know that might indeed be true then. And my second question is, you mentioned that deafness might result, and since I had my shingles, I have, I've had about a 40% decrease in my hearing, but since it normally attacks only one side of the body, at least that's what I was told, would it be that the deafness is more likely in the ear that is on the side of the body where I had the shingles?
So, first of all, let's take a comment first that you had. It's easy to diagnose. Generally, that's the case. It is a fairly easy, chickenpox is fairly easy to diagnose. But not always. If a child, for instance, is born and after his mother has had chickenpox fairly recently and has a high titer of chickenpox virus antibodies in his blood, the child will often have a very mild case, or, for instance, is exposed in the first 6 months of life when there's maternal antibodies still in the child. Those antibodies will attenuate the disease so much that it is not obvious. So it's not always obvious, and for that reason can be overlooked. But that being said, most people with chickenpox, competent physicians can diagnose it. It produces a rash that looks what we classically say is a dewdrop on a rose petal. That is a red spot with just a clear vesicle on top. It looks like a drop of water before it clouds up and dries up and scabs. And you see that, and you've seen it once, and you can begin to recognize it fairly easily. Now, to your health question about the deafness, yes, it is usually a unilateral problem. I say usually, like 95%, but I have seen bilateral shingles on rare occasions. That is, coming across both sides, meeting in the midline in the front. And so I would not say it's impossible to get bilateral eighth nerve or the hearing nerve damage. That said, I would say that you probably should look to see an ENT doctor, otolaryngologist doctor, and if you haven't, and look into your hearing loss, because there are so many causes, of course, of hearing loss that this is one of the rarest of them.
We're talking with Dr. William Egger of Gunderson Health System. We're talking about shingles, a fairly common infectious virus that people have suffered from, and we're taking your questions as well at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Our email address is talk@wpr.org. I'm Cynthia Schuster, in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about shingles this hour and possible treatments, prevention options, if any, and we're taking your calls at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Our email address is talk@wpr.org. Dr. William Egger is an infectious disease physician with Gunderson Health System. Dr. Egger, we heard from Peter in La Crosse. He says, is avoiding shingles necessary? Desirable, certainly, but I don't know that I would force people to have this vaccine, even if they strongly object. The fatality rate of shingles is very low. Most people who get it simply have an extremely unpleasant month and then go around telling their friends to get vaccinated. What's your response?
Well, I wouldn't suggest that we should force people to have this vaccine, so I agree with Peter in that extent. However, I would say that the complications can be severe, and if you can cut those risks down for up to 30% of people, roughly by half, I think we should do that. The vaccine is safe, reasonably effective in producing, as I said, 50% reduction of a serious disease and 60% reduction or more of producing, preventing, I should say, the post-herpetic neuralgia, the persistent pain and suffering people have. I think if Peter had actually worked with individuals that have had these devastating problems, I think he might be more convinced that this vaccine is worthwhile until we get something better.
Let's talk to Alice in Rhinelander. Hi, Alice.
Good morning. And your doctor is right on. My mother had a case of shingles last year. Horrific. Seeing her just jump out of her recliner in pain. If you ever witnessed someone with shingles, it's horrific. Anyways, I was successful. I talked her into getting the vaccine just last Friday. Her pharmacist gave it to her, and he ran it through her Medicaid D, Part D, and it covered it. It cost us $6.
Yeah, Dr. Ager, you had mentioned that it wasn't covered, but maybe that's changed?
I probably misspoke in the sense I think there, at least until recently, we've had to write the prescription, have it given, and then have the patient recover the money from Medicare at a later date. It's not automatic flow through, is what I meant to say. And thank you for correcting that. To return to your mother, I'm sorry to hear she has such a bad case. The older an individual is, the more severe the shingles and extensive it is, the more likely that she may suffer from persistent pain from it, and I hope that not be the case. It's also more likely to occur with persistent pain and problems if it's across the face. And finally, the pain is severe, and for those who think, it's just a viral rash and I'll get over it, remember that this is essentially a burn of the skin in the worst possible place you can burn your skin, that is right along the nerves of the sensory system of your body. So, yes, I'm sorry that Alice's mother suffers, and we see a fair number of people, and I strongly encourage anyone over the age of 60 to at least try to prevent this.
Nick in Antioch, Illinois. Hi, Nick.
Hi. How are you guys this morning?
Fine. What's your question?
Good question. Myself, I'm 36 years old. All my siblings have had varicella outbreaks. I never myself had one, or at least one that wasn't recognizable. Basically, I'm kind of wondering if I'm at risk. Now, my youngest son, some years back, had a horrible outbreak of shingles, crossed into three dermatomes shortly after receiving a varicella vaccination. Of course, I treated him and actually took about 6 weeks to fully recover. That was a horrible experience. But I'm wondering, am I naturally immune?
Well, if your son had, you said he had shingles, not chickenpox, but shingles.
Yeah, shingles. I mean, it was horrible. Like I said, it crossed into three dermatomes with like partial dissemination. It was just a horrible experience. And this was after them misdiagnosing it as a contact dermatitis. So they were pushing steroids and whatnot. And I think that played a role in making it as bad as what it was.
Yeah. So first of all, you probably have had it, Nick, because if you grew up with your siblings who have had it, you've also probably had it. And especially if your son has had shingles, then he's probably had chickenpox, and ergo, you're probably going to be immune. Again, if you really need to know and you want to know, you've got two choices. Just get the chickenpox vaccine or get checked for immunity, and if you don't have it, you can get the chickenpox vaccine. As far as your son is concerned, it brings up a point, and that is, we're seeing far less shingles now than we used to, and it is in the children, that is. And that is, of course, because the vaccine is to reduce the more virulent virus, the natural wild chickenpox virus. But this is a live vaccine, and rarely it itself has caused shingles. However, when that happens, as a complication of the vaccine, if you will, It tends to be very mild, much more mild than the natural disease. And so in order to determine if your son had the natural virus that you it wasn't appreciated he had all along and developed the shingles from it, or if he was vaccinated and actually had shingles from the vaccine itself, the chickenpox vaccine, you have to actually capture that virus and run the DNA on it and determine what strain it was. And I'm sure that's probably too late now, so you'll never know. But it's possible that his shingles was created by the chickenpox vaccine virus.
EP in Chautauqua has a question. Hi, EP.
Hi. I've had the shingles and left me with a drop foot. And my question is, what is it that triggers it in your system and you get the shingles? I've heard that it might be some type of trauma in your life that would kick off the virus to be active.
Is that true, Dr. Ager?
Yes, that's a good question. And the answer, the short answer is we don't really understand. We know that the virus from way back when we had chickenpox again incorporates itself in the dermatome nerve root of the body and hides and waits in there through time. And then a triggering event seems to occur from illness or aging or even trauma. I've seen one case that developed after actually a steroid injection in the area, so probably knocked back the immunity from the steroids in the local area, allowing the chickenpox to break back out. But much research is being done now for both the chickenpox virus and the cold sore virus, trying to figure out how the virus turns itself back on once it's incorporated in the DNA, and we don't understand yet, other than to say that just the general, if the immunity drops, either age or, again, the other immune problems we mentioned earlier, it seems to occur much more easily.
Real quick, we have a caller that we don't have time to get to, but I'll ask his question for him. Is shingles contagious? He heard that it is highly contagious.
It's minimally contagious. That is, it's not nearly as contagious as chickenpox, but it is the way the virus hid in nature when our numbers were small and were spread out in remote villages. Every periodically, someone will break down and as they get old with shingles, have enough viruses to infect a child or a person in the village and have it re-break out again. So this is nature's way of keeping this virus circulating when populations are low.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Ager, for joining us today.
You're welcome. It was nice to be here.
Dr. William Ager is an infectious disease physician at Gunderson Health System, joining us this hour to talk about the shingles virus. Thanks to Robin Cherry for producing and directing this hour. Christy Taylor provided on-air production. I'm Cynthia Schuster, in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.